Morning. They choose a song that's relevant to the Murali. And in today's Murali in Madhuban, they're celebrating Holi. We heard the Shivratri Murali earlier. And they've created a garden on the stage. One day it was the scene of heaven, another day it was a scene of the subtle region, and today it's the scene of a garden. And of course Baba's commenting that they've put in a lot of hard work and effort to create the beautiful garden and flowers, but Baba's more interested in the living flowers of his garden. And so we are those living flowers. And Baba has transformed us from thorns into flowers, something that can't happen in the world out there, but it happens with God's magic in terms of the transformation of the human soul. But I'm also just reflecting on a whole year's muralis that we've heard on the subject of tapasya. In fact, Baba had started October 1990, and from then on the muralis on tapasya continued. 91 it was tapasya, and 92 it's the end of that year of tapasya with Shivratri. And so just reflecting on what is the message that Baba has been giving us through all of these muralis, and I'm remembering that when people talk about the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, then they say that the Gita is the textbook for life, in a sense that it teaches you how to live your life. And there are three main subjects that the Gita takes up: the knowledge of soul, the knowledge of Supreme Soul, and thirdly, the philosophy of karma. And when we think about all the knowledge that Baba has given us, then we see how Baba's knowledge is very much connected with these three topics. And so yes, definitely, whatever is the textbook, the Bhagavad Gita, and it's actually quite small, but then they give lots of commentaries and explanations and all sorts of things, and then it becomes bigger. But Baba's Murali is actually the real Gita. God here on the battlefield of karma with us, teaching us not to fight a battle, but rather how to be able to come to that state of inner consciousness in which there's victory over all negativity. And just as you don't fight the darkness to bring light, you just light a candle and the candle brings light everywhere and the darkness disappears. In the same way, when Baba teaches us through the Murali, Baba's not saying fight with this, fight with that, fight with the other. Baba's saying all this is not what belongs to you. It's not part of your original state of being. And so forget all of that and come back to the awareness of who you truly are. And remember that you're the soul, remember that your relationships are with God, and then automatically the quality of your actions will change. And when Baba's been explaining about Gyan, very often Baba says, all the jnana I'm giving you is actually for you to be able to have yoga. And so even if you summarize the three things, soul, God and karma, and you bring it down further to the essence, the whole subject is actually about yoga. And so when Baba gave us a whole year for tapasya, Baba emphasized in many, many different ways that tapasya doesn't mean sitting in a cave or locking yourself up in one room of the house and saying, don't disturb me, I'm in yoga. Baba's saying, your relationship with God should be the priority within everything else that you're doing. And so the subject of karma yoga has been explained in a very beautiful way. As you do your karma, what is your consciousness as you're doing it? What is the purpose of your doing karma? And yes, there's been thousands of years in which you didn't understand what was the purpose of karma or what your consciousness should be. And so there's a big backlog that has to be settled and cleared. So on one level, yoga is to be able to clear that whole backlog. But on another level, yoga is the consciousness in which I do the karma that I'm doing today so that I'm earning a fortune for the future. Not just for half the cycle. And Baba's explained in Sakarma release how even the Copper Age isn't really one in which there's intense suffering. It's a period in which, yes, we've fallen off the pedestal of purity, and so we're getting sick, we're getting unhappy, but the suffering of Kali Yuga is an intense state which is very different to the Copper Age. I remember reading in one of the diaries of Vasco da Gama when he had gone to India, and this would have been 15th century around there, and he's writing that the people, and he's talking about Bharat, and he's saying that the people here have such love for each other that they can leave their doors open. They don't need to lock anything. And the other thing he's saying, when a stranger comes and he asks for a glass of water, they don't just offer him water, but they offer him a glass of milk. And in those days, milk was organic. Milk was without pesticides. Milk was without antibiotics, so it was fine. But that's the point, that even just 600 years ago, it was very, very different. And so just imagine how much stock of good karma Baba's children have accumulated in Sangam Yuga that Bharat still has that condition. And somebody sent me a list of the main battles that have been fought in India, and with invaders of one type or another. And I noticed that the dates that have been given have been all 1700 something, 1600, 1700. So only 500 years ago, 600 years ago max, that's when invasion started and all the battles happened. So again, it's just emphasizing for me that the time to accumulate good karma is today. And in a short period of time, we have to accumulate so much that definitely at least for 4,000 years, maybe even 4,500 years, we're able to experience the benefit of it in some form or another. And this is why Baba's been emphasizing, and again in today's Murali it's very much emphasized again, that it's yoga and karma. It's never one alone. I can't say that yoga. Human beings need to be in action. We are on the field of action. We are engaged with each other. And that becomes give and take with each other, relationships. So karma is what we're here for. But the quality of karma is whether I'm remembering Baba, or my remembrance of Baba is such that the consciousness has been cleaned out. And so it's never that I'm doing karma for my own selfish benefit, but the karma I'm doing is service of others. And you can apply that to Laukik life also. You see how within a work situation, and of course we're at the end of Kali Yuga, and the majority of the world's population have come on the field of action only since 1900. Look at the population figures before, look at the population figures after, and you see that the majority of souls are very, very new souls. They haven't been around a long time. And so they don't know about God. They don't know about the secrets of karma in the way that we do. And so whatever they're doing, it's their business. It's not my business. But what I have to do is, if I happen to be in the same situation as them, I have to make sure that I'm able to give them something. Something from Baba's peace, something from Baba's love, something that also is enabling them to come back to some state of dignity and respect by my giving them respect. I mustn't say that, oh well, they're Kali Yuga souls, so I'm not going to bother with them. But I have to make sure that the quality of my karma is based on my relationship with Baba. Because yoga, the connection with God, is the essence of everything. And so, can I make sure that the karma that I'm doing, whether it's in the Laukik world, or whether it's in Baba's house, is only filled with God's qualities and God's love and power. Love is one of the qualities, power is the other one. But I'm just emphasizing those two out of all the other qualities. Respect and dignity and everything. Kindness, compassion, all those are God's qualities. But one other very major one of God's qualities is forgiveness. And in bhakti, they remember God's mercy and compassion and truth, but they also remember God's forgiveness. Just imagine if in bhakti we didn't have that faith and trust from last kalpa that yes, God truly can forgive. How would we have survived? Our survival was because I make a mistake and then I say, okay, I'm going to ask God for forgiveness. And of course the mix-up comes is when you go to a human being and you think that by giving the human being something, you're going to be forgiven your mistakes. If I've erred against a human being and I go to them to ask for forgiveness, that's right. That's not wrong. That's absolutely right. But I've done something and I go to a pundit or a priest or someone or another, an agent in between, thinking they can absolve me of my sins. Well, that's where Baba says, your connection is with God, and only God is the purifier and can absolve you of sin, not a human being. But yes, having made a mistake towards a human being, going to them to ask for forgiveness, maybe will take away some of their pain. Maybe the pain is so deep that they don't even want to give me forgiveness, but at least I can try that from my side. But the other is really God's power and God's love that can forgive and purify. And why I mention this is because in today's Murali, Baba has focused a lot, of course, on the subject of holy and taking up the word holy. Whatever has happened, hoge, it's gone, it's past. And so don't waste your time and energy thinking about the past. If you do, you're missing out the opportunity of being able to take what God offers now and to fill yourself with all of that. And so let go of all of that so that then you can move on. What are the chains that bind us to the past? It's our karma. But whatever I did at that time that I now have to sort out with God's help, it's my thoughts today that are adding more to the chains from the past. And so if truly I want to settle the past so that I can be free, not doing anyone else a favor, I want to be free so that I can fly and move forward today. If there are chains holding me back, how can I fly? And then very often, for many, many of Baba's children, we've been practicing yoga for a few years maybe, but many of us for decades, and we still haven't got to the point of where we can say, yes, my yoga is how I would like it to be. Ask Brahmins, do you have any complaints? And sometimes they'll say, I don't have a complaint about anyone else, but I have a complaint about myself. I'm not able to have the quality of yoga that I would like to have. It comes up often. Or the other way, that I think I'm having yoga. I'm giving a lot of time to yoga. But how come my sanskars are the same as they were yesterday or last year or even before? And where sometimes we say, in the world out there, if somebody says, you haven't changed a bit since I last saw you, it's a compliment. No more wrinkles, no more grey hairs, your eyesight is as good, whatever. But if you say that to Baba's child, you're still the same as you were last year, would that be a compliment? Don't think so. Because Baba's wanting me to change every day. And if I don't change every day, how am I get to my destination of Satupradhan? It's not possible. And if I'm still carrying the sanskars of the past, well, it's an indication I'm not having the yoga of tapasya, the fire of yoga that Baba wants me to have or that I want to have. And it's true, unfortunately, that we still identify people with their nature. Oh, so-and-so's nature is like this. They've always been like this. And it's like a curse. You've always been like this, you'll always be like that. But of course, I'm here to change. And I want to support others in their transformation. So am I putting a label on them? They're always like that. It's underlining whatever negative sanskar they may have. And I'm not giving them good wishes. I'm not giving them support for transformation. But what is it doing to me? It means that my thoughts are still connected with the past. And I'm creating more and more chains for myself. And so the quality of my thoughts today, is it pure? Is it in God's remembrance? Is it in the awareness of who I truly am? Is it with the recognition that the Brahmins I'm interacting with are those future deities? Am I seeing them with that vision of their original eternal state of being? And so tapasya is only possible when my thoughts are focused on the inner being, the soul, and I'm concerned about my transformation and moving forward. And where thoughts are connected with others, especially in a negative way. Yes, Baba says, have good wishes for all. But if my thoughts are not filled with good wishes, but it's anything else that's happened and it's the sorrow that I've taken from the past, then that's the interference in my tapasya. Baba said very clearly today, there's one mistake that you make. And in words, it sounds like a little mistake, but it's actually the biggest mistake of all, because it creates the most upheaval. And that is that we forget the things we're supposed to remember, and we remember the things we're supposed to forget. Sounds simple, isn't it? Basic. But how often is it that I consciously remember I, the shining star, and I see you as shining stars? And how often is it that it simply flies out of my head, out of my mind, and I see you as a brother and sister? But Baba saying, don't even see as brother and sister. Just see each other as that shining star. And I'm supposed to remember Baba. And then I say, oh, I forgot. I got so busy in my work, I got so engaged in my work that Baba slipped away somewhere. And so, where are my thoughts going? There's things that I need to forget. All of those things are occupying space in my head. And either I haven't forgiven others their mistakes, or it's that I also am holding on to my own mistakes, and I'm carrying the burden of that. And so the big story of being able to put a full stop. And Baba said recently, and again Baba said today, don't just put a stop, put a full stop. Not just a partial stop, but a full stop. And very definitely the other thing that comes if I'm not letting go of the past, that's one big story, but connected very much with that, the cause of other waste thoughts. Why, what, how, if, but. Little words, but think about it. Every time you have this question, why? How many waste thoughts does it generate? It's a huge, huge amount. And it's creating loss of time, loss of energy, loss of purity. A lot of negativity is coming in. And it's not allowing me to do what I need to do now. And now is my time to create my fortune for 4,500 years minimum. Maybe even for 5,000 years. And so I need to be very, very aware of the consciousness with which I engage in karma. And all those other things interfere in my karma. I have all these waste thoughts. Then when I see you, what am I thinking about? I'm not seeing you as that shining star. I'm not able to have that attitude of brotherly love. All of those other things are there. And so what I can do today to reinforce my tapasya is make sure that in the time that I'm not sitting down in yoga, at that time, through all the things that I'm doing, whether for myself or for Lokic work or for service, pay attention to my consciousness at that time. Then that's going to enable my tapasya really to be strong. And so karma yoga. Karma, consciousness, and then yoga, my connection. And then yoga in action. Action in yoga, but yoga in action. And both of those things are just reminding me of the same thing, the quality of my awareness as I engage in the field of action. And so more and more, Baba's bringing us to the point of reminding us that we have a short time in which to become karmatit, settling everything, but also making sure that I'm accumulating what I need to accumulate. And so in terms of karmatit, every time I have waste thoughts about someone or another, whoever, whatever, I'm adding to my karma. It's more burden that I now have to clear. And the burden of the present is greater than the burden of the past. Because now I have jnana, now I understand yoga. And if I'm still going in the opposite direction, then I was going to say, well, when you didn't know, you said, sorry, Baba, I didn't know. But now you know, what excuse do you have now? And now there's no excuses. And so, holy, finish the past, forget the past, and focus on God's company. In holy, they color people with colors. And Baba was saying that there's one color which is the strongest color of all. In India, they use this term fast colors or temporary colors. And so when you've got a towel, a new towel, and it says fast color, then you know it's okay to wash it. And if you have a towel that doesn't have that label, and very often they don't, you wash it and all the colors coming in, spoiling all your other clothes. But the fast color, it stays. It won't wash away. And so the fast color is God's company. God's company colors you with God's qualities. And so the more I stay in companionship with God, Baba's been talking a lot about God as our companion also. So staying in companionship with God, and God's colors are going to influence me, and that color will stay. So it's amazing how Baba gives us so much knowledge, the ocean, and then Baba also condenses it to its essence so that we are able to use it and practice it. Because when you're on the field of action, you can't remember a whole murli. You know, it's time to do something now. The churning should have happened before, but now it's time to act. But if I remember the essence on the field of karma, then the good karma will begin to accumulate. And it applies anywhere, here, outside, anywhere. I just have to be very aware of what is my consciousness, my stage. And if it slips away from soul consciousness, there's going to be a problem in some big form or little form, something or another. We're going to offer bhog to Baba.